Welcome to Behind the Sports Medicine Podcast, proudly sponsored by AJR Sports Science and Healthcare Consulting. At AJR, we are committed to offering a comprehensive range of exceptional services, including applied sports science analytics, healthcare and sports medicine consulting, and leadership and coaching development. To learn more about AJR, visit their website at ajrsportsscience.com. I'm your host, Andrew Rizza, an allied healthcare professional with over 25 years of experience. My career has primarily spanned private physical therapy and public school athletics. Driven by curiosity and a passion for the industry, I created the Behind the Sports Medicine podcast to explore the ever-evolving landscape of healthcare with a focus on sports medicine, physical therapy, athletic training, and sports science. Each week, we'll dive into the challenges healthcare professionals encounter and discuss how collaboration can enhance understanding within the industry. Our goal is to improve the experience for patients and athletes alike. Now, on to the show. On this week's Behind the Sports Medicine podcast, I'd like to welcome Wally Collins. Wally is the founder of Collins Sports Medicine, which is located in Raynham, Massachusetts. Wally graduated from Foxborough High School in 1978, and that was just the beginning of a remarkable journey. During his time there, he became the Massachusetts State 2-mile champion, a title that fueled his passion for running and set the stage for future accomplishments. In 1982, he graduated from Columbia University, where he led the cross-country team to its first Ivy League championship. His experience at Columbia not only honed his skills, but instilled the value and importance of teamwork and perseverance. These qualities have proven invaluable as he pursued a professional running career after college. Wally embarked on a professional running career, qualifying for the USA Olympic trials three times, a period in his life which was marked by dedication, discipline, and the thrill of competition at the highest levels. Running professionally allowed him to travel, meet incredible individuals, and push the boundaries to the best of his abilities. In 1985, he ventured into entrepreneurship by founding Collins Sports Medicine, a division of his parents' home care business. The goal was to combine his passion for sports medicine and a desire to help others maintain their health and wellness. His sisters, Carol and Lynn, soon joined the family business, bringing their unique skills and perspective to the team. Today, Collins Sports Medicine is thriving, thanks in part to the contributions of the next generation, Carol's son, Jake, and Lynn's son-in-law, Kevin. They have stepped into leadership roles, guiding the business into the future. Their family legacy continues to grow, built on the foundation of hard work, family values, and a commitment to helping others. This journey from high school athlete to business leader has been one of passion, perseverance, and family dedication. Each step, whether on the track or in the boardroom, has been a testament to the power of dreams and the strength of family bonds. Now, on to the show. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to this week's Behind the Sports Medicine podcast. This week, I have the founder of Collins Sports Medicine, Wally Collins. He's a very beloved member of our sports medicine community, and I've had the opportunity to have worked, you know, with Wally, being in the athletic training profession and physical therapy profession for almost 30 years. And Wally, hey, welcome to the show. I'm so excited that we're doing this today.
A, thank you for the invite, and B, thank you for the kind words, Andrew. We've been friends a long time, and it's kind of fun just sitting here chatting with you.
Yeah, it's great having you here. And I think you kind of, now that you're gonna, you know, give us a little insight on where you are in your career path. It looks like you become Bob Ross. I see an art easel behind you with some painting behind
there. We're in my wife's art studio. So
okay.
I have no artistic ability. She's very, very good.
Okay, that's good. Well, I'm glad. It looks pretty good. Maybe I should come down and buy some of her paintings.
That's too funny.
So can you give the listeners a little background about yourself and how you kind of got into the business of medical sales and where you kind of are at this point?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I'm originally from Foxborough, Massachusetts. My bedroom window looked out at the grounds where the old racetrack was, and now the Foxborough Stadium is. So I played in that stadium when I was a kid, went to Foxborough High School, had a pretty good career as a track and field athlete there, earned a scholarship at Columbia University, ran there at Columbia. After college, I chased an Olympic dream for a number of years, and then I qualified for three Olympic trials, and then not performing that well in the third Olympic trials, I lost all my sponsorship opportunities, and I just got married, didn't know where we were going to go, what we were going to do. My mom and dad had just started a home care business in Brockton, Massachusetts. It was actually a franchise business called United Surgical, and they I was just going to stop in for a cup of coffee there and until I figured out what my next step was. And yeah, I started working with my mom and dad. They had one other employee. The business had no right to even exist in the first place. It was just running on a shoestring, but you know, collectively as a family, we just started putting it together. And that's kind of where I parked my car, and that's kind of where the business started.
So what that's amazing because you know I didn't know the complete history of the business and how it kind of evolved. I know mom and dad had started that business and to what it is today. I think you and your sisters have grown that business. Can you give me a little history of how the Collins brand morphed into the surgical and sports medicine piece?
Yeah, sure. Just as like follow up on that story, I went to work for my mom and dad with no anticipation of staying there. And my mom and dad did a traditional DME business. It was hospital beds, wheelchairs, durable medical equipment, ostomy, diabetic, and everybody there was sick. And I had come from an athletic sports background. And I remember like on the second or third day, I was going to pick up a hospital bed with my dad downtown Brockton, which was always a lovely place. And
Right.
we were on a third story walk up, and we went there. We knocked on the door. We were met by the priest and the whole family, and they said the hospital bed's in the back room, and the old man's still in there. The undertaker hasn't come to take him out yet. But they told us we could move him to the couch. And I looked at my dad and I said, you know, I'm not moving a dead body, Dad. And
Yeah.
he said, okay, we'll come back later. And I went home to my wife and I said that night, I said, you know, man, I don't think I can do this because their business was just, it was kind of a wacky business. However, I love the idea of entrepreneurship. I love the idea of being able to make my own decisions. And if I succeed, the family's business succeeds, my mom and dad succeed. And so I figured I'd just give it a shot. And that's how we started. And so what I did one day is I just decided, how can I make the business work for me as well as for the family? And my mom and dad's business was sports, mine was medicine, so I kind of ran with that. And if you remember, Andrew, you probably don't remember, but back in the 80s, sports medicine as we know it today was in its infancy. Athletic trainers were just a, you know, dime a dozen. There were hardly any anywhere. And then our customers, when I first started out, were athletic directors. And we basically sold athletic tape, band-aids, ice packs, band-aids, gauze pads. And I was working out at the Hockomock League is where I went to school. So I started knocking on doors and dealing with athletic directors I was familiar with. And that's how the business started. And when I left the business, we had a national catalog. We worked with most of the NBA, NHL, NFL teams in the country. We had 25,000 SKUs in our system, and it just the whole world of sports medicine just blew up over that next 3 decades, 4 decades. So, yeah, that's kind of the evolution start to beginning, where we started and how we where we're at today.
Yeah, and I think I had met you way back. I mean, I'm thinking back. I went to Northeastern. I started there in 1991 as an athletic training student, and then
That's back when Northeastern had an athletic training program.
that's when we had a program, right? I was
Best in the
there.
country.
Yeah, I was there with Chad Starkey was the program director at the time, and
Big
I
name.
got placed over at Babson College with Chris Trionis, and
Another great
Chris
name.
introduced me to Collins Sports Medicine Catalog. And that's when it all started in 1992, where I started to kind of thumb through and see the things that I needed to be aware of as an athletic trainer and things that I needed to keep in the back of my mind of things that I'm going to be needing to purchase or look at bidding out when it came to me becoming an athletic trainer for wherever I was going to be. And then that moved on to with Jamie Musler. And then I think we had maybe met at an EATA convention, probably in Boston, when I was a young student. And then I became an athletic trainer out of Northeastern and started Emmanuel College. And that's kind of where our relationship started. And that was
Yeah.
back in 1996. So
Yeah.
brought you into our, I think at the time, sports and PT. I don't think we really had a regular vendor and kind of brought you in there. And that's where our relationship really kind of, I think, went full speed ahead. And from there, it's been amazing ever since. So,
Well, thank you.
So I think a lot of people probably have the same type of story where they met Wally, right? And Wally and his family, you know, with Lynn and Carol, and, you know, seeing you guys at all the conventions and what you guys have to offer and what you could provide for, you know, your love of the athlete training and sports medicine profession just shows, because what you guys provide and keep providing for everybody is amazing. Your service and quality is great. So
you mentioned my sisters, Lynn and Carol. It was kind of serendipitous the way that worked out, because my sister Lynn was an attorney working in the field. She was one day looking between jobs, and she just came in for a cup of coffee, and having somebody with that set of skills in our business obviously was a huge plus. Plus she was more technically oriented, and she started putting together databases and things that all the work we did when we first started out, Andrew, was just all, it's all manual. I mean, basically back in those early days, you know, you remember how the old bid process worked. People would write down on a piece of, you know, legal paper, the products they wanted to purchase. They put it in an envelope, they'd mail it to us. Then we get the envelope, and we would literally, you know, have to look up every item, what our acquisition cost was. We'd have to fill in what our sell cost was going to be. We'd fold it back up, we'd mail it to them. And then we'd finally get a purchase order in the mail. And this whole process took weeks. Mm-hmm. And then when the order came in, we had to, again, hand type the order in. There was no computerization about it. And then we had a warehouse with no locations, and we just had to like put stuff in the warehouse, find it, and pull it. So it was really an old-fashioned, antiquated system, but it was the best that we had. But Lynn had that skill set where she actually built databases and organized things. She's more of a behind-the-scenes person, and it was invaluable stuff for our company. And then Carol was in marketing for the banking industry, and you know, she was between jobs, and she asked if she could come on board, and she came on board, and she brought another skill set that was actually kind of funny, because her skill set was more, you know, the proper marketing and communications of a company that was growing. But she came from a company that was so big that she didn't understand why people didn't come by and empty your trash can. And we had to explain to her, you know, you empty your own trash can in our company. But the three of us ended up a pretty good combination of how to build a foundation on a new business.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, you know, meeting your family over the years and seeing, you know, really what you guys put into the company, and your, I think just the love for what you guys do has been, everybody talks about you guys. Every time we're looking for product, you know, call in sports medicine, call Wally, call Carol. And then if you need something on the surgical side, call Lynn. So you guys definitely have built a great, you know, it's a family, I think, with everybody that's there, but then the people that aren't extended family to you guys, it seems like they are family, from Danielle to the rest of the
group. I'm not going to lie to you. It's not easy. It's a whole lot of hard work, and especially because, and we'll talk about this, I'm sure, but you know, in the early years in particular, we were David fighting with Goliath all the time. You know, we were always in a position of, you know, the underdog, and we had to fight hard and work. We had to work super hard in order to get what we did. On the flip side of that, we're in an industry where it's all sports related, and it was such a wonderful industry. And like you said, it was so much fun to go to conventions and see you guys, and you guys weren't customers. You all became friends. You and I have spent many a day or night together down at the beach, or, you know, whatever. And you had a beer here or dinner there. And it's been that way with so many of the people out there. And you can't do that in many industries. You know, this industry was very, very unique industry.
Yeah. I mean, that's 100% true. And we try to build the relationships we do just so we can, you know, provide the best for whatever, you know, whoever we're working with. And you guys did a great job with that, and you still do. How did you build the relationships to bring the organization to where it is today? I mean, you talked about knocking on doors when you were younger, but how did you guys keep ahead of everything? What was the secret?
I mean, there is no secret. It's knocking on a lot of doors, but more importantly, especially like I told you, we were an underdog, you know, and that underdog parlayed into a lot of things. If back in the day, Microbiomedics was the biggest player in our industry, and Microbiomedics sold their business to what is now Henry Schein. Henry Schein's one of the biggest shippers in the entire world in terms of medical supplies. They have hospital contracts and dental contracts and prison contracts and you name it. They're in that world. They also have a division in the sports medicine world. I don't think they pay the attention to the sports medicine world that they do to the bigger, more profitable areas, but it's a very high profile area and they want to be part of that world. But they had buying power that we didn't have. So we had to constantly source and fight with the vendors and prove to them that, you know, we were a viable source in our industry and that being at a buying disadvantage was not to our benefit nor theirs, because we would have to find something else to sell against their products. And then on the flip side, we had to service our customers better than anybody could possibly do. I mean, and we didn't differentiate in our customer base. I mean, if Don Del Negro, who I love as a brother, he opened up so many doors. He was the athletic trainer, as you all know, for the Boston Bruins. Ed Lasser, at the Patriots. Celtics. Ron O'Neill at the Patriots. These guys gave us an opportunity, but it wasn't an opportunity they just handed to us. They said, "I need something today. Can you get it there?" Mm-hmm. And we said yes. And we established a pattern. And when Andrew Rizza, when he was just out of Northeastern working at the sports medicine clinic or working at Weston High School or wherever you were at, you said, "I need something for my football quarterback who's got a big game tomorrow night. Can you get it?" We treated everybody as if they were the New England Patriots. Mm-hmm. And that's what we had to do. And that's what we enjoyed doing. And I almost thrived on that pressure and self-induced stress, because that's what I did when I was in sport. You know, I had to run marathons and things like that and push myself to and beyond. When we got the chance to do that, you know, to a customer and just build a business that way, it was very, very gratifying.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned getting something to someone right away. I kind of relate that to when somebody calls to get in that has an injury. We want to get them in right away, and we provide that same service. So I have to say, I talk to patients.
They're going to go somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly. They're going to go down the street, or they're going to call the next clinic or the next clinic, right?
And some of the big boys would just say, "Fine, do that."
But yeah, yeah. And to us, it makes a difference, right? Because we're providing, we have a lot of pride. So it provides us with the ability to do something good for somebody and make it like they're one of our family. And that's what I always say. It's, what would you do for your mother, father, brother, sister, if they called to try to get in for an appointment today? It's the same thing if we have a patient that's looking for a brace and I say, call Collins Sports Medicine. Here's the phone number. Ask for Danielle or Carol or Wally. They'll help get you what you need. If it's something that doesn't work, they'll make sure it works.
I remember a side story. We got a call one day, Steven Tyler from Aerosmith needed a brace. We got a call one day from the old equipment manager for the Boston Celtics, who was Bruce Springsteen's road manager. He needed some stuff for Clarence Clemens. Great, we're going to jump on that. But then we got a call from Andrew Rizza that he needed something, you know, for one of his patients or one of his athletes. And I don't care if you're Clarence Clemens or you're Bill Smith from Weston High School. You know,
yeah.
We gave the same control to both.
Yeah, and that's what sets you guys apart. And that kind of, you know, that's how you stay ahead of the competition, which was the next question. Like, how'd you guys do that? And it sounds like that's kind of how you made that happen and how you made it work was.
Yeah. And you know what happened, Andrew? There's an organic part of that. When you do something, like I remember when Ron O'Neill, I mean, I went down religiously to the Foxborough Stadium. He was a great man, but we were a small company and he dealt with Microbiomedics, Henry Schein. They were the big company. And, you know, we were just starting to get a presence at the trade show stuff. Then one day he needed something and I had it down there within an hour. And so he gave me another shot and gave me another shot. And then we slowly earned his business, created a friendship. And, you know, we've been their supplier for 30 years now, mm-hmm. through multiple head athletic trainers and the associate athletic trainers that were doing the purchasing. And every single time, it's the same thing. You need it, we'll get it for you. There's just no other way around it.
Yeah. And I mean, that's what you have to do, you know, from building a business, but also to stay ahead of the big boys, as you said, like your Henry Schein's and your Microbiomedics, right?
Yeah. But then what Ron O'Neill did is he talked to the people at the Green Bay Packers and he talked to his, the guys in Boston, you know, when they were like, when the Celtics or the Bruins or the Red Sox were vetting us, he gave us positive feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And then it happens once you start to become the supplier for some of the premier accounts, then people start hearing that and they deem you to be trustworthy, and it made the company's growth easier than it was, you know, in the very early years. But and then of course we brought in some great salespeople, you know, Jeff Foldenauer, Fran Ragazzino, Danny, all those guys had great, you know, great rapport with people, and they just kept perpetuating the Collins brand of relationship business. I mean, if it came down to a bid situation where a bigger college or even some pro teams from time to time would send out a very encompassed bid, and they would send it out to Collins and Medco and Shine, we'd win 30% of it. Medco would win, you know, 35% of it, and Shine would win 30 whatever percent of it. So we were in the running, and we were all never too far off because we all studied each other's work. But those places, it didn't matter, because those people were only going to buy based on whether you're a nickel higher or a nickel lower.
Right.
But the people that wanted service and they wanted competitive pricing, they saw the value in the comprehensive approach.
You know, I had this discussion with my AD probably 15 plus years ago. We had to send out bids to three companies, right? And I finally said to them, I said, listen, I'm not sending a bid out for one reason and one reason only. I know what I'm going to get when I call Wally. I know the product I'm getting, tried and true. I don't have to sit there, and if I get a box of Band-Aids that weren't what I ordered, then I got a box of Band-Aids that I didn't order. So for me, I knew exactly what I was getting. So that just ended that whole bid process for me. I'm like, this is where I'm spending my money. I know what I'm going to get. If there's a problem, I can run it back to them, or they can come to me and we can exchange the product. And that was kind of the...
Andrew, I did a lot of talks to athletic training programs. They typically would bring me in, and I know Fran did a lot of these, Danny to some degree, and I'm pretty sure Jeff has done it to some degree. But they would bring us in during the time when it was their business side of athletic training. And they asked
The Oregon Ad classes we had.
Yeah, and they would ask us, you know, to give our input and our advice. And, you know, not only I just always told them, make sure that wherever you decide to go, get to know your vendor, because your vendor can do an awful lot of favors for you. They can make your life a whole lot easier, because a lot of schools are handcuffed. They have so much bureaucratic BS that they have to deal with. And if you're an athletic trainer at Weston High School and you need, you know, a hyperextension elbow brace for the championship game tomorrow, and you've got to go through 3 weeks of protocol in order to get a purchase order for that, that doesn't help your athlete. It doesn't help the team that you're responsible for. So if you know your vendor's going to say, okay, fine, I'll get you the brace. Just work on your end, on the other end. We had plenty of schools that would say, I have no room in my storage, but I need 200 cases of athletic tape. Can I take 30 cases at a time?
Yeah.
I love to tell this story because it's kind of indicative of a relationship that you can get away with. And all above board, but we had one school that needed a dishwasher in their athletic training room. They were just sick and tired of having the interns wash their water bottles. Mm-hmm. And you know, you're there to take care of people, and suddenly you're becoming a cleaning person. And the athletic director said, no, I'm not, no money in the budget for a dishwasher. So he came to us and said, you know, I need 20 cases of Elasticon.
That's right.
But deliver me a Sears Kenmore such and such dishwasher.
Yeah.
And if I didn't know this person and didn't have anything, we could do that because it was kind of a hand in glove type of a relationship.
Right.
And one day the dishwasher showed up and the athletic director was in the room. He said, where'd that come from? He said, some creative financing. And
that's right.
The wiser, but everybody was better off.
That's
so
right.
Knowing your vendor and the other thing too is in our world, we talk to athletic trainers all day, all night. We knew when jobs were opening up, and you remember there are periods in time in athletic training where jobs are really hard to come by.
Mm-hmm.
We always knew firsthand, and we could give people tips and where they should be looking, especially if they're looking to change or even get out of athletic training. We knew where the sales jobs and the promotional jobs were. We helped many people, you know, garnish good jobs.
Well, I know if I need a job, I know where I'm going.
You've got plenty of good jobs.
You know, it's interesting you talk about the dishwasher, because I had an argument with our purchasing approval person up in our business department, because they didn't want to pay for sunscreen and bug spray. And I looked at her and I said, what are you talking about? Like, first of all, we need to use sunscreen, one, because it's going to help prevent heat exhaustion, heat illness with kids, because they're not going to get sunburn. And bug bites are, we see kids all the time, bug bites, bee stings, you name it. We're treating everything. So yeah. Until she could figure out really what we needed and why we needed it, it was a struggle to get that $15 worth of product paid for.
Yeah, some people take their positions to an extreme, you know, and especially in purchasing, we ran into many of those people.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's always a million ways to skin the cat.
That's right. That's right. And you guys are amazing at that. So, yeah. So what was the defining moment where you guys kind of became the leader? And I think you guys are the leader in sports medicine product, because anybody I talk to that's starting a program, if it's a young kid coming out of college, someone that's coming to the area, someone that's getting kind of transplanted in, I go, call Collins Sports Medicine. I'm going to take care of you guys. So where was it in your career or the time where you got really into it, where you're like, hey, we're kind of ahead of the game now?
Well, the aspect of the general commodity product, it's always been an in the trench game. You know, even we price everybody to win their business based on price, because that's the way the industries work. And we have to be in the same trench as Henry Schein and Medco and all the other people that are out there. So that aspect, we just had to make sure that people wanted to work with us, as opposed to wanting to just go with a bigger name or a name that, you know, is a larger company per se. But I think what made us stand out is that one day people started understanding that they needed good athletic training facilities. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is back many years, because that took another change, which I'll get into in a sec. And everybody would sit there and say, well, we need a whirlpool, and we need an E-stim machine, and we need two tables. And then they would send a list out to two or three people, and I'd get the table, somebody else get the E-stim machine. And it was just kind of a disjointed type of approach. So I get the idea of, let's make it a comprehensive approach. If Andrew Rizzo was going to be building a new facility at Weston High School, or, you know, Ron O'Neill was designing a new facility, or Jimmy Whalen was designing a new facility at Foxborough Stadium, let's get in on the ground floor. Let's get in and help them understand that there's a whole bunch of products that they're not aware of. So let's look at their treatment area. Let's look at their rehabilitation area. Let's look at their hydro area. Let's look at their treatment and stim and modality area, and make recommendations. You know, do you want aluminum and logos on your taping stations and tables? Do you want wood and logos? Do you want branding? How do you want it? And people would sit there and say, wait a minute, this is pretty good. Then we would come back, and we actually bought software and created software through our team. And we would come back with a complete comprehensive layout, looking at their space and say, this is what it looks like. And then we would build a quote for them predicated on the products that they had selected. And that became a big deal, because all of a sudden, you know, the Minnesota Vikings called us up and said, hey, I heard you did this room. We need the same thing. The Houston Rockets, you know, the Milwaukee Bucks. And suddenly we were getting calls from not only the big boys, but then it started happening, the University of Tampa, and everybody wanted us to come down there and design their facility. Mm-hmm. And I think that put us on the map big time. And we had a window of opportunity there for about 4 or 5 years, until our competitors started to come up with the same concept. Now everybody's trying to do the same thing. But at that, we were far enough ahead during that period in that area that we got put on the map pretty good.
I remember when you guys started that, and us at Sports and PT with Carl Gustafson and Scott Waugh, we brought you guys in for a couple of facilities to help design those and get those off the ground. So for us, we experienced that with you guys. And I remember, you know, us going through and talking about product, and we also did the weight room at Weston. And so there's some things we've done over the years, which I think has definitely put you guys head and shoulders above the regular sports medicine supply business. It's, you know, facility design is huge. And
yeah, and it wasn't just telling somebody you need a piece of equipment. It was like we had the opportunity with Eric Lindahl to go down to University of Pennsylvania in Franklin Field, historic Franklin Field, where the thing was built, you know, back when Christ was just a baby, I think. And it was a stadium that it was all, that the whole roof was all tiered and it was all rounded. And it took me 3 days to take all the measurements and figure the radiuses out. And I mean, I don't think too many companies could or would do that, you know, for the return. And, mm-hmm. you know, we spent 3 or 4 days down there at our expense and we laid out the room and we got a beautiful room out of it. And they're very, very happy. It became the cover of our catalog that year. And once again, that launched us into the stratosphere in the Ivy Leagues. We started doing all the Ivy League rooms. So.
But. Yeah. You know, I have to say there was, that just solidifies what you guys do, because then if you do that and spend the extra time with a customer, that customer is then going to recommend you to somebody else and to another friend and to a friend and to a friend. And that's what keeps you guys kind of up and running, doing what you're doing, which is amazing.
Right. And you know, Andrew, it's funny too, because the older I got, and I did it for almost 40 years. I mean, I started to see the guys that I was climbing the ropes with all start to wash out. They're all mm-hmm. retiring and getting older. And, you know, and there's a lot of young athletic trainers coming in, and the industry's changing. Technology's changed so much that we're constantly trying to keep up with it. But I kept preaching, we need new blood. We need younger people in here to, you know, when I first did the NBA meetings, Ed Lassert had invited me. I knew Ed. And then the rest of the guys kind of wandered by me, and the guys from the Bulls and, you know, the Rockets, those guys had nothing to do with me. But the younger guys that were their second and third assistants, we had beers at the bar that night and talked about our young families, and I had something to relate to them. And these guys slowly came out and they got jobs and they remembered me and they brought me up. And so a couple of years ago, we were at the NBA meetings, and I have my nephew, Jake Alexander, who's now on board with us. Great kid, full of energy. I mean, I love everything about the way he approaches, just the same viewpoints that I had, but he's that much younger and has that much energy. So at the NBA meetings, all of the big teams came over and we had conversations with the head athletic trainers, and he's picking up on all the G League guys and all the people that are coming up, and he has something in common with these people. And you know, he's befriending them, and it's not a false attempt. This is the way he's built, just the way I'm built, and he's creating friendships. And hopefully 40 years from now, when the next generation is coming in and he knows all the head athletic trainers in the NBA, somebody else is coming in to farm the next group.
You know, it's like any business. I mean, the way I got started, you know, being a young athletic trainer working in the field, is that our team physicians is what builds the relationship. So my first team physician was Dr. Pierre Demicourt at Children's Hospital before he became the Pierre Demicourt we know now.
Sure.
When I was at Emmanuel, and then he introduced me to Dr. McKaylee, and Carl did. And then I was introduced then to Dr. Gill, who is my team physician at Weston, who still is. And Dr. Gill's been, you know, the Red Sox team physician, the Bruins, the Patriots.
Yeah.
And I got introduced to all his fellows, and they worked with me, and that's how I built the relationships. And now if we had Rolodexes, it'd be a Rolodex full of contact information for all the people I've worked with.
Keep contact.
And quite honestly, that's how you build the relationships. And that's how you gain, I think, the respect of the people that you work with every day. And they're the ones who you go to when you need, you know, to be able to refer someone. And then that's, you know, how you build your career. So I think it's all about talking to people. Like you said, it's going to the conferences and having a beer with someone and talking to them. It's referring a patient to your doctor, you know? So I think it's those things that help to keep you successful in your business and no matter what you do.
My biggest fear, Andrew, is that this world has changed so much. And right now everything is that social media is, you know, fingers.
It's all length. This.
It's all that.
It's all cell phone.
Don't pick up the phone to call and place an order. They'll place an order, you know, electronically. So they don't they don't go the extra step to get to know their vendor. I mean, whenever I go into a restaurant, I make it a point of getting to know my waitress, especially if it's a restaurant I frequent. The girl who makes my coffee at the coffee shop, I get to know that person.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a social person in the first place. However, there's benefits to that because when I come in, she knows what I'm going to order and she knows how to make it the way I like to make it. And I always ask her how her family's doing. And you know, she asked me how my family's doing, and we have a relationship. And I don't think that a lot of people are doing that anymore. And I think that it's a lost art. And I think people that can transcend that and get and continue that are going to continue being successful. But the idea of sales and marketing today is we're going to send out 1 million emails. Mm-hmm. And let's hope for a 3% or 1% return.
Yeah.
And you know, how many junk emails or phone calls do you get a day? And you just look at them and you say, I don't know these people. I have no interest in it.
Right, right.
Yeah, it's not the way to do business. I don't think so.
Right. And you know, make a funny point. You talk about going to the coffee shop to get a coffee. We went on vacation and I was gone for a couple of weeks and I came back and went and got a coffee at Starbucks. And the woman behind the counter goes, "Where you been? I haven't seen you in a while." And I go, "Oh, I was on vacation." She's like, "Well, it's nice to see you. Welcome back. I hope you had a good trip."
It makes you feel welcome, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, and we had that relationship. So it's.
And it's going to keep you going back to that coffee shop where you could pass two more coffee shops and not give them their business.
Yeah. And it's amazing because I always go in with my refillable mug.
Yeah.
And one of the guys were ringing me up one day and they forgot to give me a cup discount. So it's like 10 cents. And she goes, "You got to give him the cup discount." He brought his own cup in. You know, so it's actually really nice to people that remember and they know exactly what you want every time you go in, you know, and that's a good thing. And that's the same with you guys. Like I talked to Carol probably about, I sent my list in of stuff to order early this year, like in June, which is actually rare for me. And then I called her on a couple products for a shoulder. We had a baseball play that dislocated a shoulder and I needed a Sawa brace. And she's like, "Hey, it's nice to hear. I haven't heard from you in a while. I don't think I talked to anybody in your office since like December," which was really weird because you and I would talk weekly.
Sure.
And I just didn't need anything. It was the weirdest thing. Like I didn't have any athletes that need any braces. It was just a weird second half of the year. But her and I got to connect again. And then Danielle and I talked a little bit. And, you know, it's interesting. You get to hear people's voices and they pick up right away. And that's the great thing about your company is that everybody remembers who they're talking to if there's consistency.
And again, in our industry, athletic tape is athletic tape.
Yep.
And people just say, "I need 20 cases of athletic tape." And everyone's supposed to assume we know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But from our perspective, there's 1 inch, there's inch and a half, there's two inch, there's Jaybird, there's Arrowhead, there's Johnson & Johnson. There's like 15 Mueller and Kramer products. But when you say you want athletic tape, we know you want Jaybird 25 because that's what you always use.
If
Dominic calls in and he wants tape, we know he wants Jaybird 1.
Yeah.
So we have that relation. There's no need for us to waste your time and send you back an email or call you and say, you know, "Can you be more specific?" Now, if you just said gauze, we would say, "Well, do you want 2x2, 3x3, 4x4 sterile and non-sterile or whatever?" But, you know, at this stage of the game, you know not to do that. But a lot of people do.
We know Dominic's a cheap bastard. He probably gets like seconds tape because he wants to save all his money.
You saw his big pool. That's probably where it all went.
Exactly. All his umbrellas in his backyard. We were talking about this earlier. Dominic, I know you're going to be listening, so you can throw a couple of digs at us at some point. It's interesting.
Dominic.
Yeah, you introduced me to a tape probably 4 or 5 years ago, probably right before the pandemic, cohesive tape. And I was using traditional, you know, heel and lace and, you know, the traditional spray. And I'm like, breathing the spray can't be good for me for 30 years. So I made the switch and it took my athletes probably about a month to realize that it was actually a better product to use the cohesive and the call and stretch together. And I don't use any heel and lace pads anymore. No more spray. And the kids like it because it's tight for the whole time that they're using it. Instead of the traditional tape that we know breaks down X amount of time, you know, once you start sweating. So for us, I think that bringing that product to me was great. I never would have looked at it until you brought it to my attention.
Well, that's another aspect of what we do. You know, we're the kind of the gatekeepers to what comes into the industry. We're approached constantly by vendors that have a new widget or a new crazy, and most of them are not worthy of showing people. But every once in a while, we catch a flyer. Mm-hmm. And when that happens, we want to make sure that the people that we know and love see it first, and we want them to tell us what their thoughts are. And then from that after it's vetted that way, we bring the product to market. And there's been tons of products that we've brought to market or helped bring to market that, you know, has been wonderful. It's done great for us and done great for our customers.
Now, you talked a little bit about your nephew, Jake, and how he's kind of the new blood coming in, you know, because us old guys are starting to move out, which is probably a good thing. How do you stay ahead of, so we talked about social media. We talked a little bit about people want it now, like instant. They want to go on their computer, press a button, boom. How do you guys stay ahead of the Amazons in the world and the quick fix, hit their phone? How do you guys do that? What's your philosophy on that, and how do you think you're going to stay ahead of it?
That's a great question. I mean, Amazon has been a monster in the world. They try to get into the comprehensive athletic training sports medicine world many times, but their system just didn't bring in the whole bid process and the understanding that there were so many unique products with so little volume that, you know, I mean, when you think about our world, you know, it's probably $40 million, mm-hmm. you know, in terms of athletic tape and commodity products. And I'm throwing that number out from a number I heard years ago. In a company like Amazon, that's their tip money when they get their groups together, you know, for dinners and stuff.
Yeah.
So they can't really put the effort into that. However, if somebody needs a, you know, a jar of second skin or a roll of TheraBand, and they need it next day and they're a Prime member and they're willing to pay a couple dollars more, you know, they can do that at 10 o'clock at night and have it there the next morning. That's existed, and that's something that we can never, you know, we can never stop. But in our region, if you guys wanted a box of TheraBand,
we'll have it tomorrow.
That important, we would do our best to get it there the next day or the following day. And we would probably be less expensive than Amazon. But Amazon really didn't carve their way in. Medline's another company that wanted it into our business. They're a giant, giant hospital supply house and nursing home supply house. And they interviewed everybody and tried to find the best way. And they hired people and they failed miserably just because it's not their business. I mean, it's a very unique business structure. And there's only five of us really in the country that do what we do to the levels that we do. And in service, all of the markets, all the high schools, college, prep schools, pro and pro sports. And it's very cyclical business. I mean, that's the other thing people don't realize, that 75% of our commodity business is transacted between July 1st and delivered by August 15th.
Yeah.
Because that's when the budgets come alive in the municipalities and many of the pro sports, and they all need it for training camp.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
it's an impossible situation to enter into unless you have an evolved process of getting there. And we have to have all of the product that we anticipate selling on our floor ready for that window. We have to have our warehouse running 24/7, our bid department running 24/7, our customer service department running 24/7. And everybody works their buns off during the summer months. I don't think many companies can come on board and grasp what that is. They can come in and say, we can help you design an athletic training room in January, or, you know, mm-hmm. businesses are, you know, more manageable, but, or, you know, fulfill a one-off knee brace or box TheraBand any time of the year. But the majority of being in our industry is servicing the entire market in a very short period of time.
Yeah, I've been in your warehouse in the summer. I think I came out to visit to pick up a product, and I saw you guys like full blast in the warehouse with trucks lined up outside, and you're like, yeah. Welcome to my world in the summer. Like, guys are running around grabbing, picking stuff, and I mean, you guys work hard, and that's...
I remember a couple customers telling me that they did try ordering a number of things from the Amazon-type companies, and what we try to do is that when you come in for your spring, your start of your fall season, we want to have everything sitting there waiting for you in a box with a packing slip showing that everything's there. And if happens to be a back order, it's well marked. What these other companies do is they send their purchase orders or their pick list to 20 different centers. And you get a box of gloves from this one and your athletic tape from this one and your Band-Aids from this one. And boxes come in staggered arrays for months. And when you come in, you know, during the summer months, especially at the high school level, you've got a receiving department, which is usually a custodian, and that mm-hmm. custodian just, you know, just throws stuff in your office, and then you're trying to break through all the boxes, and your kids are coming in looking for, you know, looking for help and get their season started and get their water bottles and hydration stuff, and you're trying to go through your boxes, and you're like, this is impossible. Where I think one of the appreciated things that we did was we gave them the opportunity to say, here's all of your product.
Right.
You know, we try to coach them. You're a bit in early. Get yep. your order in early. Give us a couple weeks to build your order. Tell us when you want your order there, and then we'll deliver your order. And again, many of the bigger companies like the Henry Schein's of the world, the Medcos, couldn't do that either. Because yep. they had bigger multiple pick stations and locations, and stuff was coming from Las Vegas, and stuff was coming from New York and wherever. So just another reason why I think the business is unique and still in a solidified five company hold, as opposed to having Amazon dominating.
Now, what would your advice be to an aspiring entrepreneur or business professional, knowing what you know and what you've been through in the last 40 years? Any words of advice to them?
Yeah, get into financial services. I'm not just joking. No, and it's very simple. We talked about this all day, all night long. If you're going to be in this world or any world, whether you have a broad base of customers, you have to be a people person. You have to reach out. You have to manifest a lot of opportunities, and you have to go the extra mile. I have just seen so many people that want to make money. They want to get into the business, but they're not willing to go the extra mile. They throw the responsibility to a subordinate, and then they yell at the subordinate because they didn't, you know, do their job.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't do your job either. You know, you didn't make sure that the Celtics got their brace on time.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
when it's your responsibility and you're the captain of the ship.
Yeah.
You can't let any mistakes go on.
Yeah.
You know, just ask Bill Belichick.
That's right. That's right. We're going to see what happens this year, right?
Absolutely.
We'll see. We'll see how the Patriots, how they roll this year. They need to right the ship. We'll see what happens. Is there anything you would change, given, you know, what you've been through and the hard work you've put in to get the company where it is? Is there anything you would change in your journey, in your business career?
You know, I've been very lucky. I mean, there are times I know that when I was in school in New York City, a number of other the athletes went downtown and they made a lot of money. They lived a completely different lifestyle. I thought maybe that was something once upon a time that maybe I could have done that and retired early. But I know these people got sucked into a lifestyle and their health, they paid for it with their health. They didn't seem any happier than I was.
Mm-hmm.
But then when we start building our business, the accolades and the friendships and the things that we started getting from our customers it just became something that I don't think you could really duplicate that in very many environments. And, you know, the honors that have been bestowed upon us by the EATA and the NATA. And I mean, we worked hard for those things, but the fact that they noticed that we did and rewarded us with those kinds of things, I don't think I'd change anything. I mean, in hindsight, looking back, yeah, we went up and down the roller coaster 100 times. I can't tell you the angst that I went through with the contract that we did when the NHL went into their COVID quarantine up in Canada and dealing with the attorneys and, you know, all the problems getting them all the products that they wanted in name brand 3M this and 3M that, and, you know, they needed, the whole world was in a quandary, and I didn't sleep for weeks at a time because I wanted to perform, but there was only so many miracles we could pull out of our hat. But there's so many other times when, you know, we got to go to Super Bowls because of our relationship with the Patriots and the Gatorade, and you know, the times that we spent at the big trade shows and at the EATA having our big Collins party and seeing everybody show up. We had 1,200 people at some of those parties, and
mm-hmm.
it was just so rewarding. Even though it cost us a few pennies, it was just so nice to have our friends in the house. And we're in an industry where having a good time meant something.
Yeah, people appreciate that, to be honest with you. And I'm actually very glad that you did what you did, because we never would have met each other. And, you know, quite frankly, you and I talked, I think, on the daily when it was COVID, because we need a product. And you're like, I remember talking to you about trying to get masks and, you know, get gloves and get, you know, a hand sanitizer and sprayers and for all the clinics and for sports med stuff. And you and I would talk, and I remember like, hey, I'm going to put stuff aside for you. I know you guys need it. When I get it, this is yours. It's allocated to you. And you, I wasn't going to get that from anybody else. And it kept us in business, which is amazing.
Yeah. And I told you that a lot of my friends went downtown and became brokers, commodity brokers. I became a commodity broker during the COVID years. And it was ridiculous. We bought stuff from all over the world, and we took shots at hoping the stuff that was going to come in was going to actually come in, sending money that we didn't have on the pretense that when it gets here, people needed the stuff.
Right.
But the difference between us and some of our bigger competitors, the companies that I've mentioned earlier, they have obligations into the hospital and the nursing and the military and the prisons. We had obligations to the sports medicine world.
Yeah.
So that when we get product in, the only people that got it was the sports medicine people.
Yeah.
And because of that, we picked up some very, very high profile professional teams, because they came to us and said, they won't even take my call with this other company. They have nothing for us.
Mm-hmm.
And or they're obligated to these other types of accounts. And so we, again, got the opportunity, came through, they gave us another chance, and we earned their business and struck a relationship. So,
well, it's amazing stuff, man. I'm happy for you guys. I'm happy for you that you're going to enjoy the next kind of chapter in your life, like a real retirement, it sounds like. And
yeah, we've got a grandbaby now, and she's out in California with my daughter.
Yeah.
And I don't know, having a grandbaby is
different. I hear it's a different thing. Mine, I'm not going to probably have for a while, which is probably a good thing.
Well, you're too young for that. But, you know, when you're having your own and you're going 24/7 building a business,
yeah,
and every day just kind of, you know, grinds by, where at this stage of your life, you have a grandbaby and everything she does is just amazing.
Yeah, that's good stuff. And I wish you and the family all the best. And, you know, the company, hopefully many, many, many more years of success. You guys have been awesome.
Thank you, pal.
Before we part ways, what's a fun fact about Wally that you can give the audience? Something that people don't know about?
Fun fact about Wally. Well, I mentioned earlier that this is kind of a story out of school, but I told you that I lived in Foxborough as a young boy, and at 14 years old, I got my first job selling peanuts up at Foxborough Stadium.
That's awesome.
And yeah, it was in the first game I went in there. You had to give the guy $20, and he gave you a box of peanuts. And I think peanuts back then were, you know, 50 or 60 cents. And the first guy that came up to me, you know, gave me a dollar bill. I gave him his change, and he said, "I gave you a $5." And I looked at him. I said, "No, sir, you only gave me." And he argued with me, and I gave him back the change. And I think I walked out of there that day with like $3 in profit. But those are the early days of the old Foxborough Stadium.
The old Sullivan Stadium.
And back then you could bring liquor into the stadium.
We had season tickets. We were in the 300 section.
But if you remember right, and it might be a couple of years prior to your click, but all of a sudden they got wise, and Canteen Corporation realized they can make money selling beer in the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
So people were coming in with their six packs and cases, and they were getting them confiscated at the front. The front gate, and they take them and throw them into the dumpster. So we would get a team of guys outside, and they would rifle through the dumpster, and they'd fire the beers up over the fence, and we'd put them into our peanut box. Then we'd go into the bathroom at halftime. And I was making more money during those football games than my dad was with his full-time job.
That's awesome. Awesome. That's so a good story.
That's where I learned my idea of entrepreneurialism. So
yeah. That's great. My dad had the season tickets for 25 years, from 1960 when they started to like 85. And I remember sitting in the old stadium, and we were in the 300 section. He talked about drinking and like their faces off. We had a woman that was in front of us with a fur coat on with a TWA bag and those bottles clanking around in the bag. She actually fell down like four like of those benches. She was so drunk. And the people just look at her like that's the way it was.
I went up to the third tier because most of the guys there would give you a $5 bill and just turn around and walk away. And you'd be like, sir.
Yeah.
So we were doing quite well. That's my fun fact and where my entrepreneurial spirit came.
That's awesome. Well, listen, buddy, I appreciate it again. We'll catch up soon and have a beer. I'll be down your way hopefully soon.
Well, stop by anytime.
All right, bud.
All right. Take care. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you for tuning in to the Behind the Sports Medicine podcast, proudly sponsored by AJR Sports Science and Healthcare Consulting. At AJR, we are committed to offering a comprehensive range of exceptional services, including applied sports science analytics, healthcare and sports medicine consulting, and leadership and coaching development. To learn more about AJR, visit their website at ajrsportsscience.com. This is your host, Andrew Rizza. If you enjoyed today's episode, give us a like, comment, and share it on social media. Access all of our episodes on platforms such as Apple, Spotify, or your preferred podcast app. Stay updated by following us on Instagram at Behind Sports Med Podcast, on X at AJR Sports Sci, or visiting our website at ajrsportsscience.podbean.com. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel at AJR Sports Science for upcoming content. Thank you for tuning in, and stay tuned for our next episode.